Welcome back to the False Premise Show. 216-474-0092. What are you talking about? False Premise and what you were saying over there? Twitter actions brought to you by Shivan Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. What was it?
Yeah, we do get these from time to time. We get responses. People did not like. We tweeted out the video.
They didn't like what?
Moments ago, talking about whether or not Andrew Berry has the option to relieve the head coach of his duties. And Jayhawk says, the premise is false. Nothing of consequence is done without Jimmy, Kevin, and Andrew have the weakest power of any head coach and GM in the NFL.
Who's the owner of the football team?
I would say, I don't totally disagree with, hey, it's Jimmy's situation. We've talked about that. Like, do you think it was Elliott Wolf that fired Gerard Mayo in New England? Seems like Wolf had no power. In fact, in the
Wait
statement.
Until you find out it was Elliott Gould.
Well, that would be a problem. They did say in the press release, yeah. No. Is he?
No.
I don't think he is.
Oh. Hold on, Elliott Gould.
I'm going to say no.
Is...
Put him in another Oceans movie.
Alive!
Yeah!
Still on this side, Elliott. All right. Oh, married to Barbara Streisand for a while.
Come on. In the press release, they said that Elliott Wolf would be continuing in his role, which that's not something you would write if this guy was the guy making the decisions.
John Greco, he's still with us and alive. Welcome to the False Premise Show, John. Good morning.
Guys, good morning.
Were you surprised Elliott Gould was still alive? I actually was.
No, I was not surprised.
Okay.
I did know that. I don't know how I knew that, but I thought he was still with us, and I'm happy he is.
Good. Well, there's no reason why somebody should be sad that Elliott Gould is still with us. Brilliant actor. John Greco joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. John, you and I have exchanged messages here over the recent weeks. What about this conversation yesterday in Andrew Berry's press conference about a setback for Deshaun Watson and his recovery from his Achilles? Do you or do you not believe now that Deshaun Watson will play in 2025 for the Cleveland Browns?
Well, let me start by saying this. I had my tinfoil hat on, and then I removed it, and then I put it back on, and I think I removed it. But what convenient timing. I mean, unless they knew about this for several days, a week, whatever, and we're just waiting for the right time after the season to release it to the public. That's where I'm going with the tinfoil hat theory. Mm. The timing of it seems so convenient. I feel bad. I'm a lot of mixed emotions here. I feel bad if there was a significant setback. You know, you never want to see a player that's trying to come back from a significant injury re-injure himself or whatever happened. There was really no clarity. It's all cryptic, as everything is with this organization and the people that are in front of the microphones and cameras. But I don't know. I immediately took to the airwaves and saw people saying, oh, there's a glimmer of hope. There's the insurance of the contract. There's a way out. I don't know what to make of it, guys. The fact that they restructured and it looked like Deshaun was going to be a part of the team for the next several years, and they were able to shift some money around. Now, you know, this development happens. I don't know. I do certainly think that if they were looking for any way possible to get him off the books as best as they could, this is sure as hell the best opportunity for them to do that. And time will tell. I don't know if we'll get more clarity than a setback and a decision one way or another or not. But it's definitely interesting TV.
John, when I first heard the news, you know, I'm often accused by my co-host of being too cynical sometimes. I should just enjoy sports and just have
tell
a
you
blast.
That at all.
Have a blast, taking it all in.
I didn't say anything.
Sitting back and relaxing and maxing. John, in this case, I heard it and I thought, wait a second, we just saw videos of him hanging out, dancing, celebrating. He looked like he was doing just fine. Granted, I don't know when the setback occurred, and they didn't really tell us when the setback occurred. And then the Browns said they just found out about it yesterday. there's not a lot that adds up here. This does not exactly pass the smell test for me, John.
I'm with you, and that's kind of what I was alluding to in the first response. I just think the timing of it is so convenient. And, you know, here's my thing. You know, I played there 6 years. I played 11 in the NFL. I was injured. I was on IR a couple times. I've been around a hell of a lot of guys that were on IR. Some big time key parts of teams that were injured. And, you know, I honestly, in all my years playing, I can recall maybe once or twice where a guy, you know, it's not uncommon that guys leave the area and get surgery by world-renowned specialists. That's not uncommon. I did it myself with my Liz Frank surgery. But I recovered in Berea. I did rehab in Berea. You know, Joe Sheehan, the head trainer, and his staff, they've been there since the beginning, since before all these guys, all the GMs, all the head coaches, different owners. So wouldn't they place their faith and their trust in the guys in the building to get you right, to have you back ready for 2025? So with that being said, okay, he's down in Miami, he's dancing. I don't pay attention to that. You know, you guys sent me that picture with or I saw on X about the cruise, whatever. But the fact that they were just now informed yesterday that there was a setback, I really find it hard to believe. You're telling me that there's no communication between the trainers, the GM, the agent, whoever the hell is leading the therapy sessions down in Florida or wherever he's at. I just none of it adds up to me. And I don't know why they have any reason to be so – well, I do know why, but – at least give us some, hey, updates. Hey, look, you know, the season's not going well. Deshaun's on track. He's going to be, you know, one way or another, we fully expect him back in 2025. Now, all of a sudden, I've heard that his season next year is in jeopardy. So what kind of setback was it? A setback? That means like, oh, I stubbed my toe doing high knees in the training room. And, you know, this week we're going to have to kind of tone it down a little bit. But a setback and then his next season's in jeopardy, what does that mean? I just want more answers.
Well, the difference is I believe you and the people you were with during your time wanted to play again with them. I really don't in this case. I felt like last offseason there were people kind of espousing some thoughts that he was not working very hard. I had heard to the contrary. I felt I had to stick up for him in that case. This time around, I mean, you saw there was a broken man, not just physically. When that injury happened in Cincinnati, I'm like, I don't think he wants to be here anymore. I think that the franchise sees how the fans are reacting. And honestly, John, I think that you could say, well, this is the wrong move of them to make if they were to go after a quarterback, this, that, and the other, whatever. I think a lot of people would sit here and rather debate all day long about Cam Ward sitting out the second half of a bowl game or Shador Sanders and his dad than any of the stuff we've been talking about over the last 3 years. I think the Browns know that, and I think that they're willing to roll the dice on any one of those guys instead of this.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, and I think we're going to see that. And, you know, I've been aware, and I've heard that people are talking about potentially, you know, trading back. And they still have the high second-round pick, which obviously creates some leverage. You know, a guy like Joel Bitonio was drafted in the you know, early in the second round. So there is definitely value there, and they can find some key starters. But, you know, that's assuming that we have trust in what this the powers that be can do in this draft. And, you know, the quarterback situation, here we are again. And this is kind of uncharted waters for us as Browns fans. Typically it's like, okay, you know, we're heading into this off season, and there's two, three guys that, you know, we could take with this number two pick or whatever. We just have to make sure we picked the right guy. But there's so many other moving parts. And now all of a sudden with the setback and, you know, everything that was done to restructure Deshaun's deal and the points you just brought up, I think fans are very willing to at least rip that Band-Aid off, as however ugly as it may seem, if it could mean that we could take steps in the right direction and just draw the line there. I think everybody would sign up for that, but it's so murky and there's so much uncertainty, and you have, you know, firings on the offensive staff and people being retained and frustration every day amongst Browns fans and players and key parts of the team. It's going to be an interesting offseason. I'm excited to see what they have in store for us.
John Greco joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So it's the day after January 6th, so I know it's early, but what would you do if you were the Browns this offseason, and what do you think they will do if the Browns are getting their druthers for the offseason when it comes to quarterback?
Okay, well, I'll answer what I think they'll do first. So I think they're going to take a quarterback.
At number two?
I think so, yes, because here's why. So Kevin Stefanski, Andrew Berry were retained. And these are all assumptions and things that I don't know. I don't know these answers. I don't know if anybody outside of the building does. So let's assume that they are giving full authority and power to, you know, you have to make the playoffs next year or at least be above 500. Okay, maybe that's what they're being told. I don't know. Because I think if they come out next year and it doesn't look good, it's done. I don't know if they're going to have enough patience to ride through a miserable 2025 season. So what's the quickest way to do that? You find lightning in a bottle with a young quarterback like Washington, like Denver, and you just create a spark and you know they're able to develop this young quarterback on the fly and things look like they're heading in the right direction. Now, if they bring in a veteran, I've heard Aaron Rodgers, I've heard Kirk Cousins. These are two guys coming off, you know, statistically some of their worst performances in their careers for a variety of reasons. But if you bring, you know, those guys in and you look around, there are some other holes that need filled. There are some unhappy, you know, veterans and Myles Garrett. And a move like that with a young quarterback, is that going to give – him a sense that, oh, you know, they've done everything they can to win right now? I don't know. So the what do I think they're going to do? I think they're going to take a quarterback because they're hoping that things, you know, click and Kevin Stefanski is able to develop this quarterback and whoever this new offensive line coach is going to be, whoever this new offensive coordinator is going to be, is going to be able to develop a young quarterback and they're going to start winning right away. Because that's what we were told for the last couple of years, that this team is built for you know, a championship run now. All the pieces are there. And, you know, they did a lot of things to, you know, maybe that were detrimental to the future of the Browns to win now. And I think everybody would have traded that in a heartbeat for a Super Bowl or a couple playoff wins. But here we are. So I do think they will take a quarterback and try to win now, and hopefully they catch lightning in the bottle. What they should do, in my opinion, is if they – I'm not a draft quarterback evaluator. I don't know enough about these guys other than what other fans see on TV. Are they going to do the combine? Are they going to do their pro days? Who knows? Probably not. But you fall in love with a guy, and everybody starts convincing one another that this is the guy. And if it is, great, and you roll the dice. But I don't know. I'm all for sustainable success with the Browns, and they're kind of in a situation now where they're like got one foot dipped in the pool, where you're retaining people and you're like, okay, we have faith in these guys. We're giving them an opportunity. Let's continue to build. But at some point, you got to solve this quarterback situation. And if Deshaun Watson's out for the next year and you're moving on from him, you know, Jameis is still around. Are they going to bring him back? Who knows? Are you going to bring in a veteran that, you know, can win, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 games? Is that the mark we're trying to set for next year? So what I think they should do, I think they should just try to build as much capital, maybe trade back, acquire more assets, and try to get as close as they can to 500 and be competitive and be strong in their division and just have a lot of ammo going into 2026. I know that's not sexy. I know no one wants to hear that, but that's probably the best situation for the long-term success of the team.
John Greco, former Browns offensive lineman, current Browns analyst, less than 60 seconds. Nick Chubb's future, what would you do?
I would try to work something out with him. He is such a beloved figure here in Cleveland, and I'm very much aware of the business of the NFL, but this guy just seems different. You know, I've seen a lot of guys like Joe Hayden leave. And I was around for the talks of Joe Thomas when there was trade rumors. And to see a guy like Chubb, you know, leaving and being in a different uniform, it would be tough. So I hope they work something out. That's what I would do. Maybe try to lighten his load and be, you know, more of a third down back, short yardage guy, just to save his legs a little bit. Because I think he has gas left in the tank.
John Greco, you're a wonderful man. We thank you very much for your time and your candor. All the best.
Guys, it's always fun.
John Greco on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Cavaliers have a 10-game winning streak. They will try to make that 11 tomorrow night. In a game that could be an NBA Finals preview against the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Ooh.
More on the draft tracker coming up at 8:45. We have plenty of time to talk about the Browns, for crying out loud. There's been a little bit of a... I don't think fans have been as bothered as what maybe we thought they would be about the national recognition or lack thereof of the Cavs. Maybe Darius Garland, though, can stoke the fire of this fan base with his comments in the post game on Sunday after the Cavaliers dispatched the Charlotte Hornets. Here's Darius.
Don't know why. I wish I had an answer to that, because I think that we deserve to have the recognition for being the best team in the league, especially with the group that we have, the brand of basketball that we play. I think it's really exciting. I think it's fun. I think it's actual great basketball, and it should be shown a lot more. It should be just really out there, in my opinion. But I guess a small market, that's the only thing I can really think of, to be honest with you.
What do you think of what his comments are?
Well, small market thing's not really true. We had LeBron, and we got all the attention you could ever want. So I don't think the small market thing is necessarily a case here.
I think he's looking for an answer. I think he's a little bit perplexed.
Yeah, Giannis has certainly got the attention over the years. You know, probably Oklahoma City, though, they're probably wondering the same thing. Are a ton of people that... Obviously, the basketball junkies are, but the casual fans, are they really dialed into Oklahoma City game in and game out? And they've been amazing this year. And they've had the Chet injury, and they've still been amazing. What have they won, 10 in a row? So both teams probably are bickering the same way. I know there's going to be all-star stuff. I do wonder about the all-star stuff mattering once guys like Kevin Durant said and LeBron kind of laughed at the format this year. I wonder if people are just going to not really care about the all-star stuff at all the way they used to. I don't know.
I think the regular season has taken a hit, and I think that some people, I think the pundits are bored. They're bored by the regular season. We're not. They're 31-4. How could you be bored with the Cavaliers' regular season?
It's been awesome. Awesome.
Let's be honest. The guys from inside the NBA, they're bored. They've been talking about the three-pointers. They've been talking about the regular season. I mean, what's been the big conversation? I love that show. Always have, always will. It's not a knock against them. But when they bring up the three-point line, the league should start on Christmas Day conversation, that stems from their board. They don't feel there's anything to really break down. And it sucks because this is a great basketball team that I think is poised to compete for a championship. I don't know if they'll win it. Boston is really, really good. And I don't know how serious they take the regular season other than to get ready for the postseason. But again, why can't we? We can only beat who's put in front of us. Why can't we get ready for the regular season? Who won the NBA Cup again? Who won it last year? The Lakers won it last year.
The Lakers won it last year.
Who won the NBA Cup this year? I already forgot.
The Bucks.
The Bucks won it this year. Okay. The Bucks might be... See, it's only been a couple of years. I wonder if the teams that are really competing for an NBA championship are really actually competing for an NBA Cup at all. Or if it's just like, hey, we got to get ready for the postseason here. This is the regular season. And are the Cavs doing the same thing? I don't know yet. It's only been a two-year sample size. But last year, you could say, well, yeah, the Lakers, LeBron wanted to dignify it for the NBA. He's doing his service for the NBA. He knows he's the biggest deal out there. They went out, they won it, and then they went and fell apart for the rest of the year. Well, Milwaukee was terrible to start the season. Now they're a different basketball team. They won the NBA Cup, as you said. Maybe it's different there. I'm trying to find anything that the other ones, we're fine with the regular season here, but the other ones would maybe want something different for their regular season.
Yeah, so obviously like the national NBA podcast, they're talking about the Cavs like crazy, but obviously that's not for everybody. That's stuff that I listen to, you listen to. Owen, you're not listening to national NBA podcasts,
no.
Right? So you don't really care. Right, like someone like
I miss
Owen.
I missed the low post.
Yeah, okay, but
I listen to a lot more of the Carter and Justin, to be honest.
Yes, I care about one NBA team. I don't
care.
So
you're watching the Cavs, and I think a lot of people are watching the Cavs.
And Danny Cunningham.
Like a lot of people watch baseball. Now, is that about to change once the NFL, once football season's over? Because now you got college football going forever, too.
I think
too.
So, but I...
Once that ends, there's nothing else. What else are people going to be paying attention to?
During the Christmas break, I told you, I checked in on Oklahoma City. I left on basketball. But I'm not watching as intently... I don't think I watch as intently as I used to watch or anything. I think for the last decade plus, I've been able to turn on a game and leave it on in the background and learn through hearing and paying attention in the final couple of moments of each half and just enjoying it for what it was while I worked on other things. I think I've done that with the NBA, and I still do that with the NBA. I think it's helped in a lot of ways. Pay attention to the league.
So this pursuit, like right now, where, and it's unbelievable, there are two teams in this situation, the Cavs and Oklahoma City. That's pretty remarkable that you have two teams with these kinds of records, 31-4 and 30-5.
Yeah.
Now, maybe does that say something about the league, that two teams could have those kind of records at the same time? Does that mean a lot of teams are just kind of
mailing it in? I think it might say something about the league at the end of the year. If either one of those teams are not in the NBA finals at 31-4 and 30-5, I think that's a bad thing for the NBA.
Well, and obviously, like, in the Eastern Conference, for instance, we know the Bucks got off to that horrific start. They've stabilized a little bit. Philadelphia is still not even in, if the season were to end today, they would not be a playoff team. They've had injury after injury, and Joel Embiid, his situation has been, you know, obviously talked about a ton. But I still think, in a way, no matter how dominant we've been, I still think we have a lot to prove. And maybe that's why they're not getting the love. Because when the Warriors, I keep seeing people bring up that the Warriors got all the love for their pursuit of 72 wins. What did the Warriors do the year before? They won the championship. Mm-hmm. We were injured, but you know, people forget about that stuff. They won the title. So now, once you win the title, they didn't coast that next year. They went all out to try to win as many games as they can. They said all year it was their attempt to win, and 73 wins, right? To go get the record. And they did it. They accomplished it. But then what happened? They lost. They lost, and they blew the 3-1 lead. What happened? What did fans do? They made fun of them. What did Cleveland fans do?
We still make fun of them.
What did Cleveland fans do?
Made fun of them.
Do you think that once they won that record but didn't win the title, that changed whether or not fans care at all about winning 70 games?
I think to some degree, yes. But I don't take it this way here. I don't even take it as a disrespect. I think it's a general interest thing. I don't think it's a disrespect towards the Cavs. I think it's a general interest to the NBA. Everybody keeps telling me the ratings are down. To a significant extent, the ratings are down. And people are saying how boring the regular season games are. I'm not bored. I'm a Cavs fan. We're doing really well. This is not boring.
The fourth quarters are boring because they're blowing teams out by 20
but
points.
But I have a real fun 2.5 quarters.
How many games, though, have the Cavs had that have been entertaining down the stretch? We haven't really had a bunch.
Probably less than a handful. A handful to less.
Like, I don't even know what the Cavs lineup would be in a close game right now. Now that Max Strus is back, he's been shooting terribly. I don't know what would a Cavs lineup be.
Jeez, that's maybe something we have to ask George.
Well, it's almost like you want them to play some close games now. You want them to get into it, get some physical battles.
Tomorrow night might be the night that you get your first one.
Right. That's why I said I'm a little bummed that Oklahoma City's not fully healthy. We know they're still great, but that they don't have Chet. I want to see the Cavs go up against the best. You know, we beat Boston. They didn't have Jaylen Brown in that one game. I'd like to see more competitive contests now, not because I'm bored with the winning, but we don't have a lot of... think about how many conversations do we have about the Cavs right now? There's no weaknesses.
No.
We don't really have any weaknesses to talk about.
I don't want to make any trades.
Right. We're not really talking about trades.
I don't want to mess with the core four. So, I have nothing. Evan Mobley is progressing nicely.
Oh, my God. He's incredible.
I think he should be a... I almost said Hall of Famer. I think he should be one step at a time. I think he should be an all-star. Jared Allen is playing his role fantastically. I think that's one of the differences we're seeing in Kenny Atkinson. You've mentioned Caris LeVert throughout this entire year, and one of the differences we're seeing in Kenny Atkinson. They're all positive things. And it's not like we're not happy as long as there's nothing but positive things to say. It's not just that. But if we were a 500 basketball team, I think there would be more conversation about the general NBA. But because we are a team that's basically waiting around for the postseason to start and waiting around to see what Boston does, and we're seeing this, we're just enjoying the enjoying the regular season full tilt. But I think a lot of teams are a lot of places, a lot of stations, they're probably talking about what can you do to improve the NBA? Should they smooth out the three-point line or however you say it there? Should we bring back hand-checking? It's the same old conversation. How much longer can LeBron do it? Is LeBron still a superstar? That type of thing. Where I look at Evan Mobley and I'm going, should we start to have a conversation about him turning into the player that we wanted other players to turn into? If I say Zion and Ja, I think people fart in my general direction. But can he start to grow into the type of player that we wanted for Chet Holmgren? Can he grow into the type of player that isn't Victor Wembanyama, but is starting to approach closeness to him? That, where you're not one of the you're not the best of the generation, but you're one of the all-stars of the generation.
Isn't that part of the issue also why they're not going to get the love? Even though the record is astounding,
yes.
they don't have a top 10 player in the NBA.
And we also, this is a league that's built on people talking all the time, and we don't have a lot of mercurial figures. I mean, James Harden with Philadelphia was a story every single day. You're seeing what's going on in Miami with Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's being very honest, and a lot of people have problems with it. I don't want any part of Jimmy Butler. Donovan Mitchell's fun. He's a nice guy. Seems like he's nice. I think there were some things that maybe he led some reporters astray last year, but things are great.
Are you surprised?
Evan Mobley's quiet. Wait,
are you surprised Donovan's not bigger?
No, I'm not.
A two guard that has the finishing package that he has, that any game can drop 50 if he really wanted to. He's done it in playoff games. That he is capable of going on these runs where he can drop 20 points in a quarter, no problem.
He's a really good player.
I feel like he doesn't get talked about that player ever.
I feel the same way as I would about him when Jimmy Butler first hit the Heat. You're a really good player, but you're going to have to really prove it to me. Because the conversation about Donovan Mitchell, he was a mid-round guy, if I'm not mistaken. Donovan Mitchell took Utah to the playoffs, and immediately the conversation was, where are you taking it from here? And I think that the rest of the NBA is in prove-it mode with Donovan, and Donovan knows that, and he has to prove it. But I don't find anything argumentative about Donovan whatsoever.
So
it's just that he has to prove it. It's as right in front of him as you're going
to
find with anybody.
Then you've admitted they have so much to prove. They've only been to the second round.
Yeah, but I don't find it to be a disrespect.
Five playoff games.
But I don't take it as I don't take it as a disrespect.
So do you not really want to hear Darius Garland say what he said? Like, it's going to be up to you guys to actually do it in the playoffs. Nothing you do in the regular season is really going to interest people all that much.
I'm wondering the same thing with him. I don't agree that it's a small market thing or something like that. I don't. I think that he's looking for answers just the way we all are.
Now they're getting
I'd like to hear more NBA players wonder why aren't the Thunder getting as much run? Why aren't the Cavs getting as much run?
They're getting their games, like their games against Oklahoma City got flexed. So I think you're going to see the Cavs on national television the whole second half of the year.
216-474-0092. Do you feel the Cavs are being disrespected right now?
It is going to be the busiest and most uncertain offseason in years for your Cleveland Browns football team. From organizational moves to free agency, the NFL draft.
Even stadium stuff?
Yes.
I see Chris Ronayne up on TV.
And
they're showing images of the stadium. I don't know what he's saying. It's on mute.
And some injury setbacks that are somewhat skeptical.
It might pave the way for
I was wondering, what could that possibly be?
Browns comeback.
Pave the way for comeback.
It's still a good
clip. They're right beside each other.
Still good clips.
Daryl Ryder and Andy Baskin, they'll be right next to each other when they do their podcast. Always game day in Cleveland. Subscribe to the podcast now, 923thefan.com. On the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And that's sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution.
Outstanding as always. Outstanding. I'm going to do the Browns draft rumor tracker coming up here momentarily. Momentarily.
Get it going.
But damn it, there's questions about the Cavs and there's concerns about the Cavs. I don't think the Cavs are being disrespected. I think there's like a general malaise in the NBA. Will hand checking bring it back? Will fist fighting bring it back? Do we need to have another Malice in the Palace?
I do like a good fist fight.
Everybody's upset that there's a bunch of threes. Okay, and we're one of the teams that can hit a bunch of threes, so I don't really care.
Yeah,
it's not my
problem. We're shooting 40% from three. Not our best player, not our best shooter. The entire team is shooting 40% from three. They're playing, as Jared Allen has coined it, ethical basketball.
It's not the Cavs' fault. Ethical basketball is a hell of a way to put it. 216-474-0092. Josh and Berea, real quick, go.
So, yeah, I'm glad they're being,
disrespected into wearing that chip.
You think they're disrespected? You think they're being disrespected?
Yeah, of course.
I really don't.
I mean, look how they're talking. But look how the national media is talking about them. It's always, it's still like this wait and see. Like, we're not taking them serious. They don't really talk about OKC this much. They really are just talking about the drama. And that is what has been the problem with the NBA the last, like, 6-7 years. All they really care about, even the pundits who are dogging the game, they rather talk about, you know, the drama. Oh, what's going on with Kevin Durant? What's going on with Joel Embiid? What's going on with this, that, and the
drama third? Is like, fun to talk about, Josh. You do know that. I mean, if we didn't have a dog in the fight, the drama is fun.
Yeah, but what's also exciting, if you're a basketball junkie like myself, is just seeing teams like OKC, seeing teams like the Cavs, who literally stayed pat, drafted guys, developed young talent, watched their team go through the growing pains, and now look at them. The OKC and the Cavs are both on pace to win 70 games. Teams that have done what they are doing have, 6 out of the 10 teams that have done what they've done have gone and won NBA championships, okay? This isn't like a fluke. One of these guys are going to be the winners. We should be excited about this matchup instead of talking about are we disrespected?
You think Boston's out of it? You don't think they're winning it?
I don't think they're out of it because like they're always going to be those teams that are seasoned veteran teams that hey, we're going to wait till the postseason. Like hey, Boston's been in how many Eastern Conference championships? They've gone to 2 finals in the last years?
Honestly, all I'm hearing is the same thing any responsible pundit is saying. Now, I can't help it if some goofball's saying whatever, but what you're saying is responsible that I've heard.
All they're doing is just saying the game is boring. All they're saying is the game is boring, but when you watch OKC and the Cavs, yes, can they shoot threes? Absolutely they can shoot
we're
threes.
Not
they don't
boring.
Only beat you by the threes.
I agree.
Well, there's been nights where we have shot terrible from the three and still won the game.
But you wouldn't consider it disrespectful if I said the Cavs are doing really well. They're 31-4, but we have to see them get past Boston. That's not being disrespectful. That's just being honest. I think they would feel the same way.
But to not even like consider them as contenders when all the empirical evidence that's out there that shows what they are doing.
Yes.
They're contenders.
They're contenders.
Legitimate contenders.
Yes.
So that's where I'm like, glad they're good. Let us be under the radar. Let OKC be under the radar.
See, I don't believe that. It sounds like you don't want to be under the radar.
Well, you just called to complain about being under the radar, so you don't want to be under the radar,
okay,
Josh.
I'm okay with being under the radar. I just hate the term that the NBA is complete trash from these old pundits like Charles Barkley and Shaq and all these guys who just want to talk about their era.
Well,
but God, just put on a YouTube video of that era. There's dudes that literally leaving dudes open at 18 feet up because they
got Hodges
or whoever the heck out there shooting bricks and all this crap.
I didn't play these games, obviously. Josh, thank you very much for the call. I'm fighting this myself. I don't want to be the guy who turns 50 and all of a sudden every level of sport that's after me turns into trash. It's like, well, yeah, if you wanted the old headhunting Steve Atwater days, maybe they shouldn't have had $1 billion lawsuit. If you wanted the old hand-checking days, maybe they can bring that back. I'm not sure.
But I do think that when Golden State started shooting threes to the level that they did, and Steph was shooting so many threes, they played a different style than everybody else. Then they did the small ball thing, playing a different style than everybody else. Wait, you don't even need a center on the court, and you're winning a championship?
Mm-hmm.
So fast forward all these years later, I mean, a full decade later, all the top teams are shooting all the threes. And then even bad teams like the Hornets, they're like, well, we have no shot, so we're going to shoot 50 threes in any given game. I do think that has become unappetizing. There's not, even though you and I are watching the Cavs, they look like an all-time perfect team the way they're playing basketball right now. I think people are just not interested in watching 40 to 50 threes go up a night, even if you're good at it.
All right, I can give Michael 60 seconds. I got to get to this rumor tracker here, but Michael, go ahead.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
I listen to you guys every morning.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're wonderful.
Thank
All
you.
Right. I just wanted to say, I think it's just a much simpler answer than digging deeper as you guys do, which, you know, is great to hear it. But, you know, I think, as far as the streaming goes, it's just getting outrageous. I mean, just to be able to buy these packages, I mean, my electric and my utility, my heat goes double, you know, from what it was the past couple of years.
Damn, Michael,
and I got to make a decision whether I'm going to be able to watch.
Somebody else brought this up to me yesterday. I wish I could give you more time because I got to get this fit in before Rodney joins us. And thank you very much for the call and the kind words, Michael. Somebody brought it up yesterday going, well, I'm glad the game's on ESPN on Wednesday because I get to watch. Because eventually the streaming services are going to have to bottleneck. You're going to get probably something that resembles cable sooner than you think. Because if you have umpteen streaming services like we all do, it's all going to add up.
Well, I picked it up. I'm doing the Cavs streaming now.
Yeah.
It's two less drinks at the bar a month.
And you know what? That, depending on which bar you're at, takes a hit on you. It takes its toll.
Sometimes it's only one.
All right, you ready for version 1.0?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Browns 2025 Draft Leads Tracker. Back and better than ever. We start on December 20th, where Myles Garrett says he's not interested in a rebuild and wants to see a plan for winning now, courtesy of his press conference. December 21st, I woke up at 5 a.m. to see a video of Anthony Bourdain making beef bourguignon. I'm not sure it's a French word for beef stew. And later, Adam Schefter reports Kirk Cousins will be cut by Atlanta, courtesy Schefter. On January 2nd, 2025, Charles Robinson tweets to the Browns fan that there are still people in the building that want to try salvaging Watson, but with a plan B. That's courtesy of Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports. On January 3rd, hold off on that audio for a second, Diana Russini, quote, the Browns are drafting a quarterback, The Athletic. On January 4th, Laura Rutledge reports the Browns will involve Myles Garrett in offseason decisions,
Laura.
Courtesy ESPN. January 6th. Browns general manager Andrew Berry states that Watson suffered a setback in his Achilles injury in a rehab process, courtesy of press conference. January 6th, James Palmer suggests the idea of Aaron Rodgers coming to Cleveland in 2025, courtesy of the Zach Gelb Show. And as of this morning, Matt on Twitter, this is from the Scoops podcast from The Athletic, Diana Russini said this.
Now, I can tell you that they have always planned on going for a quarterback in the upcoming draft. That's something that they've been focused on.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And adding a quarterback to that quarterback room is all part of the Cleveland Browns' plans.
Am I right or am I right? Thank you very much.
Did she say number two overall?
Damn it. Fine.
No,
get your Jackson Dart and waste our time.
They have the first pick of the second round.
Go ahead. Great. Get your Jackson Dart. Get your Jalen Milroe and waste our time. That's the first installment of the Browns Draft Rumor Tracker.